Dear congregation, we open the Word of God this morning for the scripture reading for the sermon in the Gospel according to Matthew. We read from Matthew 26, verses 1 through 16. Matthew 26, verses 1 through 16. There we read God's holy and infallible Word as follows. Matthew 26, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman had done, be told for memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. So far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Matthew 26. I read two verses as text verses for the sermon. Matthew 26, verses 7 and 15. There we read as follows, verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it out on his head as he sat at meat. And verse 15. And said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. The theme for the sermon is the value of Christ. We have 3 points. The first point, a woman and her ointment. Second point, the disciples and their indignation. And the third point, Judas and the 30 pieces of silver. So the theme is the value of Christ. 3 points, a woman and her ointment, the disciples and their indignation, and Judas and the 30 pieces of silver. Congregation, it happened that there was an older lady and she visited her niece. While they were sitting in the living room, someone pointed to a little cabinet standing there in the room. And she said, she asked the older lady, You remember it? because it had belonged to her sister, the mother of this niece, and how do you like it? Yeah, I remember it very well, and that's fine. Well, do you like it? Well, it's old. It's old stuff, and so you could tell that she didn't feel much for it. For her, it had no value. She probably would have got rid of it. It's old. So I rather have something new. That's what I would like much more. If you would ask this niece, she would say, "Oh, I love it. I wouldn't sell it for any amount. Well, why do you love it? Well, it belonged to my mother. I still see my mother, how she used it. And you know, it's so dear to me. It means so much. It has so much value for me. You understand? You see the difference, how different it can be between two people concerning the same object. The one would say, it doesn't mean anything to me. And someone else would say, it's most dear to me. I like it. I want to keep it. I wouldn't want to miss it for anything. And that's how it can be with things, with persons. Isn't that what we see in this scripture part? When we think about the value of Christ, and then we see two people, especially in this scripture part, we see Mary of Bethany, and she would spend anything for Christ to show her love to him. And then at the other side you have Judas, and he was thinking about me. What will you give me? And he would do for just not so much money, the price of a slave. He would sell Christ, get rid of him. The value of Christ. So Jesus is in Bethany. That's what we read in this scripture part, verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. And Bethany was a very small village not far from Jerusalem. And we know in Bethany lived some friends of the Lord Jesus, Lazarus and his sisters, Martha and Mary. They lived in the same village. But here in this history we read that Jesus is in the house of Simon the leper. So obviously, Simon isn't a leper anymore, but he still has the name of a leper. He's healed. And we can certainly assume that he was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Lord Jesus received here in the house of Simon the leper, and they prepare a meal before him. It says, 6 days. Well, that's what it says if you compare the other Gospels. We find this history not only in Matthew 26, we find it also in Mark 14 and in John 12. And we believe it's the same history, but there's a difficulty because in John 12 it says 6 days before the feast. And here we read, it came to pass that the Lord Jesus said, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. So that's confusing. Are we talking about 2 days before the feast or 6 days? According to John, this meal, this gathering of the disciples, the Lord Jesus in the house of Simon the leper, and Lazarus and Martha and Mary attending, being there. According to John, it's 6 days before the feast, so you could probably say in the evening of the Sabbath day. But here we read that the Lord Jesus says, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. How can we reconcile those two facts? Sometimes scripture seems to contradict itself, isn't it? But then we have to study it more careful, and I believe there is a quite simple answer for that question. If you read this chapter 26, it's clear that the Lord Jesus is speaking at the moment when it is 2 days before the feast. But then you come to verse 6, and then Matthew is looking back. He says in verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany, and that was 4 days earlier, 6 days before the feast, well, then he was in the house of Simon the leper, and then he's going to relate this history. And he does it because that what happened 4 days earlier is related to what the Lord Jesus says now 2 days before the feast. He's going to speak about being betrayed and that he has to be crucified. But you know, Matthew says, you know, 4 days before that already, there was a woman and she had an insight in it that she brought ointment and anointed him, and Jesus said, she did it for my burial. You see the relation? So now that's solved, isn't it? This meal happened 6 days before the feast, and here Matthew is writing it in relation to what the Lord Jesus says 2 days before the feast, revealing to his disciples about not only that he would die, which they already heard, but that he would be betrayed and crucified. So here they are. You see that before you? In Bethany, a very small village. And the Lord Jesus is there, and Martha serving. So Simon the leper and Martha, Mary, Lazarus were friends, and friends of Christ. Yeah, he had friends. He needed friends. He was man, like you and I. And then while they are gathered there to have meat together, what a good time it must have been in this house with the disciples, whom Jesus also called at a certain place his friends. I don't call you anymore servants, but I call you friends. Communion of saints. It's so precious if we experience that here on earth. But something happens here in this house. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And this woman, we can learn from the other Gospels, is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, Mary of Bethany. And she brings an alabaster box, and again from other scripture places we learn it contained a pound of ointment. And very precious. The price was, it's not written here, but in other place, 300 pence. 300 pence. And 1 pence is the wages for 1 day work. So the salary for 1 day of work is 1 pence. So 300 pence. How long do you have to work for that? 300 days. You could say it's a year's salary. So she's bringing the salary of a whole year work. How much would that be for you? And then she's bringing it and she has it in this box. Very costly ointment. And usually those boxes have a very narrow opening that you could use it to drop just a little bit to smell very well, to have a very nice odor. That's not sufficient for her. So she's breaking the box, we read in the other Gospels. And then she's pouring it out on Jesus' head. So the whole house is filled with the fragrance of this ointment. She's pouring it out on his head. But in John, we read, she was anointing his feet and drying them with her hair. Yeah, and the Lord Jesus says in verse 12, she hath pour this ointment on my body. So we can understand, you know, although Matthew is putting attention to or emphasis on his head and John is talking about his feet, but actually it was his whole body. That was sufficient to anoint his head, his body, and his feet as well. And then she dried his feet with her hair, showing love and service to Christ. And we see that many times, that the Gospels put emphasis on different aspects of a certain history. That's why it's so wonderful we have several Gospels. So she poured out the whole box. She didn't keep anything back. 300 pence. A whole year's salary. She might have saved money for a long time to bring this together. Maybe it was like her retirement money. That's what she would use when she would be old. Might have been everything she had. And she gave it all. You see it before you? She was not sad about it. No, this was a joy for her to do this. She poured it all out on the body of Jesus. And when you see this picture, what do you see? What do you see? Look carefully. See this woman before you. What do you see? You see a woman like pouring out her whole heart, full of love for Christ, isn't it? She doesn't keep anything back. He was all for her and she gave all. So I got a question now. Do you understand that? Could you see yourself in such a position? Could you? So in other words, what is the value of Christ for you, young people, adults, you who are older? What is the value of Christ for you? It can be so different, and it is so different. For you remember how we started this sermon? For some people, Christ doesn't mean anything. They might be religious, but they hardly think ever about Christ. But for other people, He is always on their mind. He is the comfort of their hearts. So again, the question, what about you? What does Christ mean for you? She sacrificed all. You can certainly say it was a sacrifice. We might donate money for the church, and that's good, and for mission work, for the kingdom of God. But it might be that we have so much left over that we don't even feel it. And then it's not a sacrifice, is it? Sacrifice is something you feel. This was a sacrifice. But it filled her heart with joy. It's blessed to give much more than to receive. And she understood it. But she had received everything from Christ. So there's the key. There's a secret. If I ask the question, what does Christ mean to you? Well, it has to do with how much insight you have received by the Spirit in who you are before God, for a holy God, before a righteous God, but also who Christ is, what He has accomplished. And Mary, so here's the key, Mary has been sitting at the feet of Christ and listening. Martha was serving, but Mary took the best part, sitting at His feet. And when the Lord Jesus says He did it for my burial, I believe that means she had some insight in what Christ would do very soon, how He would die, sacrifice Himself. And she couldn't even think about being without Christ, so she sacrificed everything for Him to show her love. How dear, how precious He was for her. So we see love when we see this woman doing this. We see also insight. She has got insight in the teaching, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it also a matter of faith? I believe this is a fruit of faith. Yeah, that's it. A fruit of faith. When you by faith rest in Christ, then you got everything. So then you can use the things of this world for the Lord. Because in Him you have everything, isn't it? So here is a woman and her ointment. That's our first thought. The second point is the disciples and their indignation. Every Sunday night we confess with the 12 articles, the Apostolic Confession of Faith, I believe the communion of the saints. So you would expect that it's not only a joy for Mary to sacrifice everything for Christ, but you would expect that the disciples would be united in this love for Christ, that they would rejoice in this act, this deed of Mary, that they would have the same love in their hearts, the same joy in seeing Christ honored and served and receiving glory. But that's not the case. No, this service to the Lord was not appreciated. Watch. You see that? Look. Do you see the eyes of the disciples? You can see a lot in eyes, isn't it? And you see the indignation in their eyes. They thought it is a waste. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. So Mary, she sacrificed for Christ because his love had filled her heart. We love him because he first loved us. Then this must have been a cold shower for her. The disciples turning against her, talking in indignation. To what purpose is this waste? This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. There she's standing. What could she say? Yeah, what can you say against that? I mean, this sounds reasonable. If you would use the whole year's salary to help the poor, you could just walk outside and there they are sitting begging for money, not able to work. How many could you provide with food? And for what? For how many days? And now it's all wasted. Just one moment, she broke the box and poured it out, and there's nothing left over. We do not see that Mary did say anything. What can you say in such a situation? Religious people, even disciples, even children of God, turning against her, those that followed the Lord Jesus, those that had given up everything to follow Christ, left their occupation behind to follow Christ, and here they turn against her. It sounds like she did something really wrong. It's a waste. You've wasted money. It sounds like she has been stealing from the poor. She's taken this money and just put it out and wasted it. And now the poor people there, they are suffering. And you are to be blamed, Mary. How can you do that? You did something very wrong. This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when you think about the situation, it becomes clear how something that is done with a deep intention of love can be twisted in a way that it seems to be wrong. You might have experienced that sometimes in your life. That you have a real intention and desire to serve the Lord, to obey His word, to do His will, to show love to Him. And people might disapprove about it. They might say, you're a fanatic. You take it too far. And these kind of things. Or in other ways, you can experience that people turn against you. People that you would expect to support you, they don't understand. They disapprove what you do. And what can you say? They might use religious words and religious reasons. And you don't have anything to say against it. It is true, of course. It is true. You could take all that money and use it for the poor. Who would deny it? But for Mary, it's a matter of priority. Christ was first. And this is urgent. He's going to die. And so she did it. And what does Christ say? So she didn't have anything to say against the disciples. But then we read, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. And she understands. That's what you can hear in it. Oh, the disciples, although they had been with Jesus, they didn't understand it so clearly. They didn't receive the teaching of the Lord Jesus so clearly. So what can we learn from this situation? Let's try to receive some lessons out of it. We see Mary standing there, and you see the hurt on her face, don't you? It's a total surprise that anybody wouldn't feel the same love and the same intention to show love to Christ. So a lesson that we can learn from this history is that not all people that know Christ and follow Him have the same measure of love in their hearts for the Lord Jesus. And that can cause also confusion and even fight in the church. That's the sad reality we experience in the church here on earth. And so there is a warning as well in this history. We should be careful. We should be not so fast to judge others like the disciples did. They were too fast. That's clear. Because the Lord Jesus correcting them and rebuking them. Why trouble ye the woman? Yes, they troubled her. You can be troubled even within the church. Even with people who are no strangers from grace, you can be troubled. But then there's also an encouragement that Christ is speaking for her. If you are sincere in your service of the Lord, it might be that some people don't understand or even disapprove. Christ knows. He knows your heart. And He will take your side. He will be with you and bless you. He looks to your heart. And He is not disapproving what she did. She did the right thing. Like sitting at the feet of Jesus was the right choice. And now sacrificing this and anointing Him for His burial was the right thing to do. So this woman makes the disciples ashamed, you could say. She had understood more than they had, and she lived more with her heart. And that's probably another lesson. And I believe women have the gift of living more with the heart, while men have more the gift or inclination to follow the mind. And that's why it's so good that they are joined together to help each other. But yeah, how good it is to live with your heart. Are you struggling with that? Your mind is always in between. Yes, but, and then you start to reason. And the good that you would do when you would have obeyed the voice of your heart, you don't do it. But Mary did it. And in this way, she showed her love to Christ. How good it must have been for the Lord Jesus, where he told his disciples, I'm going to be betrayed, and you will all forsake me, and I have to be crucified, take the curse. And here's a woman, and she showed such an outpouring of love. He was man. He was really man. Oh, what a good service she did to Christ. And so it's very sad that they were so fast to judge, and that they had such a lack of insight. But there's something more. There's something else in this whole situation. And we learn that from John 12, where it says that Judas was the one who was speaking against her. And Judas did it because he was a thief. He had no love at all for Christ. He didn't esteem him at all. And now we understand. Now it becomes all clear. Of course he doesn't understand. If you don't have any love for Christ, yeah, then indeed this seems to be a total waste of money. Christ had no value at all for him. But it is too bad, and it is so sad that the disciples were influenced by this one disciple, that they seemed to join him in this negative way of thinking. And yes, that's another thing we have to learn, and we do see happening in the church of our days as well, that it can be that there's one person in a congregation that has so much negative influence on other members of the church. How sad it is. Judas, he was a thief. He had the love of money, and he was stealing money, and he was bearing the purge, the money that the Lord Jesus received. He took care of it, but he took for himself. So he didn't want to use it for the poor. It's just hypocritical thing to say that. He wanted it for himself, or at least part of it. But he hit Mary so much by it. Yeah. This happens in the church. We should watch and pray that we wouldn't fall in such a snare. Satan is at work to do damage in the church and tries to use those that do not really, and he does use those that do not really love the Lord. And that's very sad. So watch and pray that we will have the insight in who Christ is and what his work is, and that we will appreciate those that serve him with sincerity. Well, we learn from this history that we should not be surprised when we are falsely blamed in serving the Lord. When it happens to you, you also should think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was accused. He was accused of blasphemy.
Blasphemy?
He, the Son of God, who showed love his whole life to his Father. And that's why they condemned him. And he took the condemnation for sinners like you and I who blaspheme God by our lack of love and dedication for him, that we could still and would still be accepted by God, embraced, for Christ's sake, received. Yeah. So don't be surprised when it happens to you that you are accused or condemned, but remember Christ and just bear it. You might witness against things that are not right, but be humble under it. And that it will draw you near to Christ. Be careful not to judge so fast. Live more with your heart. And remember one thing more. The Lord Jesus says, "She did it for me." Yeah, it's good to serve your neighbors, but first Christ, that he will be the first one in your heart. And then Christ says, "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman had done be told for a memorial of her." So today you hear about her, and Christ prophesied about that. And wherever in the world the Bible is translated and the gospel is preached, we hear about this woman, Mary of Bethany. And so, in bringing glory to Christ, she will share in his glory. Isn't that true? And we love the Lord. We want to give him all the glory. But he will make us share in his glory. In this life, although there will be shame, but in heaven, perfectly, we will share in his glory like this woman does. Our third point is Judas and the 30 pieces of silver. What a contrast between Mary and Judas. If you think about the value of Christ and you see those two people, you could say it's one of the two. Well, Pastor, wait a minute. It's not that black-white. You might be somewhere in between. Well, it might be, you know, that it doesn't come out so much like it does in the life of Judas, that he didn't esteem Christ. But we have to be clear about it. It's one of the two. Christ has value for our hearts or not. It's one of the two. And if you do not show it in such a way like Judas, that's the grace of God. He's keeping you back from things. But it's one of the two. And it's so important we look in the mirror this morning, that we ask ourselves this question: what does Christ mean to me? Well, here's Judas. And we read, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went out unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" So now you can look straight into his heart. What will ye give me? It was all about himself. He didn't want to give anything to Christ. What will you give me? He wanted to get something out of his religion. And he didn't receive anything in it. His heart was cold and dark and closed. It's one of the darkest things we see happening here. The closest friend of Christ, you could say one of his closest friends, like we have been singing, was eating his bread. He turned against him. It's dark. It's dark in the heart of Judas. What will you give me? the love of money and not the love of Christ. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Well, a piece of silver is 4/5 of a pence. So it's less than a pence. It's less than the salary for one day. And 30 pieces of silver, so it's less than 1 month's salary. Actually, it was the price for a slave. It was also prophesied by Zechariah in chapter 11. This is the price that Jew is going to sell Jesus for to get rid of him. It says in verse 14, then one of the 12, now it was sufficient. You could say this was the drop that filled the bucket to make it flow over. And he goes to betray the Lord Jesus. And the priests, the elders, they're very happy. They were seeking for a way to find him, to catch him. That's what we read in verse 3. And now there's someone who is going to help them to do it secretly. And because they didn't want an uproar on the people, so they covenanted with him. That means they promised and they probably immediately paid the money. So here's the agreement. We have a deal. They wanted to make sure that he wouldn't turn away. And so he got his money now. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. What is it? Let's try to understand this situation. That a person can do this. I mean, what did the Lord Jesus do wrong? What did the Lord Jesus do that caused Judas to do this dark, dirty thing? Was it the love of money? Partly, sure. Was it disappointment that Judas followed Christ because he wanted to be in a high position in that kingdom, which he expected that Christ would erect on earth? Disappointment, love of money, even anger. Why would he suffer? He who has all the power, why would he allow this to happen? Well, there's more. There was a gap between the heart of the self-sacrificing Christ and the self-seeking Judas. And there was no bridge of faith to be connected to Christ. Judas was in the darkness, in selfishness. And Christ is in the light, in self-sacrificing love. And he had nothing with Christ. And you know, Christ became a hindrance for him, like in this history. And he wanted to get rid of him. Like pretty soon we see the whole people shouting, crucify him! Crucify him! They wanted to get rid of him. That is a picture of our nature. That's a picture how we are by nature. Scripture says there's nobody seeking God, not even one. The darkness inside, the depravity of our natural heart, nothing in common with Christ, the Holy One, the Righteous One. But look, you see Mary. There was no gap at all between the heart of Mary and the heart of Christ. Christ had bridged this gap of sin by his amazing love. She saw his sacrifice, and there was her hope, and she was united to Christ by faith. It's one of the two, united to him. And then Mary became, of course, transformed to the image of Christ. Christ sacrificed himself, and she wanted to sacrifice all she had. That's Christianity, that in the true sense, meaning of the word. Or Judas, who was thinking about himself and being in darkness and not seeing anything in Christ. What is the value of Christ for you? What does he mean for you? Take that question with you when you go home and think about it and meditate on it. And Judas went into the darkness in his own way. And Mary, she receives glory in being with Christ and even here in Scripture. One of the two. You seek your own glory, you seek the things of this world, or you gather treasures in heaven. One of the two. And if you have to conclude this morning, well, I am in darkness. And I love this world much more than I love Christ. Then I'm very glad that you see it, that you are aware of it. Then you have to confess something or much to confess at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are in such a dangerous spot. How can it change, Pastor? How can it change in my life? I said, you have to confess it at the feet of Christ. But I have nothing. Right. It's good that you see that. You are a poor and guilty sinner. But look, he has everything in abundance. Christ came to save sinners. And Paul says in Romans 5, we being justified by faith. But how can this change in my life? It has to change. I said, at the feet of Christ, where Mary was, you become a guilty sinner at his feet. Did you come there? Did you stay there? And that he becomes your Savior. That you see in Christ what you need. He lived a perfect life and sacrificed to pay the price and set sinners free. And the word says, we being justified by faith, that is, that your heart will trust in him and his work. And then his righteousness is yours. That you repent at his feet and look to the cross and embrace with arms of faith his righteousness. But Pastor, my life has to change. And that love of Christ filling your heart, that he died for such a dirty sinner as you and I, that will change your heart. You cannot be the same anymore. You will start to hate sin because of the love of Christ, his Spirit dwelling in you and working in you. And you will not be conformed to the world, like Paul says in Romans 12, but you will be transformed to the image of Christ. Amen.